Folks, I've heard many, many people say, well, look, I'm going to go to this church or I'm going to go and worship God in this way. I like the way they worship God because it suits me. I know it's not exactly what God says, but I want you to know it's part of my style. It's my culture. It's my upbringing. It's my fruit and vegetables. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter whether it's your fruit and vegetables or whether it's your bowl of ice cream. If God says this is the way you worship Him, then we need to be hearing what God has to say about it.
That unique voice you've been listening to is the voice of Dr. Don Wilton. And as we open God's encouraging word together today, we're going to think about the speaking dead. Now, that's a remarkable topic, I know. But as we dive into God's word in just a moment, I pray that you'll be open to what God is going to say through our pastor and teacher, Dr. Don Wilton. We also are open to say some things directly to you. If you'd like to get connected, we're doing that keyboard to keyboard right now at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. Or let's meet together on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you. And now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton. It's called The Speaking Dead.
Did you know that long after you have died, that you will continue to speak? The Bible tells us that. Did you know that long after you have died, you will continue to speak? Many people are of the opinion that once you're dead, it's over. Nothing else happens. All your influence is gone. You've got nothing else to say. Not according to the Word of God. I've even heard wonderful people say, well, I know that I'm very sick. The doctors have told me I've only got 6 months to live. I better say and do everything I possibly can because I've only got 6 months left to do it. Well, we understand, and that certainly is important. But I want you to know the Bible says that the dead speak. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to show you where this comes from. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. I want to read to you just one verse, and then I'm going to read to you all four verses, and then we're going to go briefly to the Old Testament. But here's what the Bible says in the last part of Hebrews chapter 4. It's a long verse, so look right at the end of that verse with me. The Bible says, and by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By the way, Abel died a number of years ago. He died before I was born. He died before anybody listening to the sound of my voice was born. He died a long, 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 long time ago. And God here is trying to impress something on our hearts, something very profound. Something that He wants someone like me to hear and to understand. As I believe that what God is trying to tell me is, Don Wilton, are you making certain that when you die that you will still speak? Let's read this. Let's put it in context. Verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 4. That should be easy, right at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 4. Let's go back to find out what this was all about. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says that Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. This is what she said. With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth, or I have gotten a man child. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Now, can we just stop here a moment, because I've got a real problem, folks. Yeah, we've got two men, Cain and Abel. Cain brings an offering. His one is of fruit and vegetables. Abel brings an offering of the firstborn of his flock. And he spills blood and he offers the lamb as a sacrifice. God accepts the sacrifice of Abel, but he in no uncertain terms rejects the offering that Cain brings. Now I'm going to ask you, what in the world is wrong with fruit, nuts, and vegetables? What I'm going to submit to you is nothing's wrong with fruit, nuts, and vegetables. In fact, I like them very much. God made them. They are of the fruit of the earth. I think the Garden of Eden was filled with them. Nothing wrong with fruit, nuts, and vegetables. So what's the problem here? We're going to read about it in a moment. God did not accept this, folks, in no uncertain terms. I'm going to show you in just a moment. God didn't even play with it. He didn't even allow this to be a consideration. God didn't say, well, okay then. If you want to bring the fruit and nuts, we'll just accept that. That's all you've got. No, God did not accept that as an offering in his presence. Now, we're going to study something very important, because Abel speaks from the grave. And I'm going to submit to you today, my friends, that God puts his finger here on the pulse of even of those of us who live in today's day and age, because so many of us are determined to tell God that we are only prepared to worship him the way we want to worship him. God says, I don't accept that. But Lord, you don't seem to understand. I can worship you on a Sunday morning by being on a golf course. I don't have to do all these. What's wrong with a golf course? Well, I'm going to bear testimony to tell you there's nothing wrong with a golf course. I love golf courses. I mean, Lord, there are trees, there's grass, there's beauty. You created the heavens and the earth. What is wrong with worshiping God the way I want to worship him, or the style I want to worship him, or the method with which I want to worship him, or the manner with which I want to worship him, or how I'm going to worship him? We got a real interesting predicament here, folks. The bottom line, and we're going to discover something wonderful here, God wants us to know this, even in today's day and age. There is nothing wrong with the fruit and vegetables. The issue here is, my friends, that when God tells us to do something, we do it because God said it, and what we have to say about it is irrelevant. Now, friends, I want you to know we're going to be touching on something here that is of singular significance. Because there is a mad scramble in America today to find churches that suit us. Folks, I've heard many, many people say, well, look, I'm going to go to this church, or I'm going to go and worship God in this way. I like the way they worship God because it suits me. I know it's not exactly what God says, but I want you to know it's part of my style, it's my culture, it's my upbringing, it's my fruit and vegetables. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter whether it's your fruit and vegetables or whether it's your bowl of ice cream. If God says this is the way you worship him, then we need to be hearing what God has to say about it. Well, let's see what happens here. Bible tells us in the latter part of verse 5, so Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Now, friend, let me just tell you this with all the love in my heart. There are some people in America today who are getting extremely angry over churches like this. They are extremely angry when they find born-again believers who believe what God says and who follow God's command and who are not willing to compromise the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a rising level of anger and hostility in the world today because people are demanding that God accept them on man's terms. God says, you don't accept me on your terms, you accept me on my terms. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Now, what about what part of but by me do people not seem to understand? All right, so watch what happens here. Now, this is not a pretty picture. So verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, as if the Lord didn't know, why are you angry? Isn't it amazing that even though God knows us, he is still so much interested in us and loves us so profoundly that he even comes down upon us to draw us to himself despite ourselves? Why is your face downcast? Now, verse 7 is a key here. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now, folks, there's something very interesting here. Because there is great difficulty in understanding the matter of a sovereign God and the choice of man. But I'm going to tell you from the creation of man that what God did in the life of Cain was that he came down upon Cain, who heard God speak, who believed in God but would not believe God, and God in his righteousness came down upon this man and he said to him, Cain, I do not accept this. You are living in sin and sin is mastering you, and you cannot have my favor resting upon you, and it will not be counted unto you for righteousness. But if you want to be reconciled to me, this is what you need to choose to do. Let me tell you, if God had damned Cain from before the foundation of the world, would not God have said, Cain, I hear your cry. That is the most incredible bunch of fruit and vegetables, but you could bring me anything you wanted to. You are damned, son, and there is nothing you can do about it.
Forgive the interruption. There are more essentials to come as we continue with Dr. Don in just a moment on his message, The Speaking Dead. But Dr. Wilton insists I interrupt to remind you that we're here for you. We're taking your calls right now. As a matter of fact, not just during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you, listen, maybe connect you with great resources. Like right now, everyone's asking about the promises of praying for others. It's a tool that'll help you revolutionize your prayer life. Again, you can see it right now online at theencouragingword.org. And while you're online, look at everything from our radio and television schedules right there at theencouragingword.org. You'll see the opportunities to hear The Encouraging Word on radio a number of times throughout the country. And also tonight, nationally, internationally, as a matter of fact, on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, at 6:30 Eastern. More details, again, online at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to get together with you, not just during this particular broadcast, but throughout the entire week to get deeper into God's encouraging word. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Now let's understand the grace of God, for God so loved the world. Can you hear the cry of a loving Savior? Well, friends, listen, this anger was unbelievable. Verse 8, now Cain said to his brother Abel, come on, brother, let's go out into the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Can you imagine that? Now, friends, this is after God has spoken to him. This is after God has pled with him. This is after God has explained to him what his grace is all about. Cain still refused to accept that God was telling him, Cain, what you need to do is you need to choose me and my righteousness. And if you do it my way, you will have my favor upon you. But Cain would not do it. People live and people die, don't they? Some like Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, the brothers Hussein. They dead, but they speak from the grave. Sadly to say, there are many neo-Nazi groups, even in America, that continue to operate on the fundamental principles of Mein Kampf and the voice of ruthless dictators like Adolf Hitler, even though he be dead. On the other hand, the great men and women of faith, I'd love to meet with Mother Teresa. I think she was and must have been an extraordinary person. Great women of faith, I really believe that. Vance Havner, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, C.S. Lewis, Bill Bright, the Wesley brothers. What about Lottie Moon? Boy, we know about Lottie Moon. Our church has just given so generously. $110,000 to Lottie Moon, $30,000 to build a chapel for African students that can come and study the Word of God together. Lottie Moon, dead many years, great missionary, great lady, great character, great perseverance, great woman of faith. Though she be dead, she still speaks. What about Abel? Let me tell you a couple of things about him. First of all, I know I don't need to remind you, but Abel is the second son of Adam and Eve. He called Adam daddy. Cain was the first son. By the way, just as a matter of interest, have you ever wondered in the Hebrew account, Hebrews chapter 11, why Adam and Eve are not listed? It starts there with Cain and Abel. Actually, not even with Cain, because Cain was not a man of faith. Cain rejected faith. Starts with Abel, the second person born. Why Adam and Eve not in here? Because Adam and Eve didn't need faith. They had seen God face to face. Faith was not operative in the Garden of Eden. Faith only became operative when their generation was born. Even after they had sinned and were thrown out of the Garden of Eden, they still didn't need faith because they had seen God face to face. Number two, Abel was the second man of faith on the earth. The second man of faith on the earth. Cain being the first. Why was he the second man of faith? Because the need was there. Abel had not seen God face to face. I can imagine he had heard many a story around the campfire. I'd love to have heard what his mom and daddy had to say about their experience. Number three, Abel is the second man born of flesh. Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says that when Eve conceived, she made the statement of her son. She said, I have gotten a man child. And by that, by the way, that word there, gotten, as opposed to the only begotten of the Father. In the New Testament, that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Gotten in the Hebrew text literally refers to the enfleshment or to the sinful nature of the human disposition. I have borne, I have gotten a man conceived in sin. And incidentally, and practically, and literally, not only was Abel conceived and born in sin and was a sinner and was lost in his sins and trespasses, but he lived outside of the Garden of Eden. He was never given admittance back into it, even though that's where his parents came from. Number four, I want to say to you that Abel is proof of the original essentials of human nature. He's proof of that, of the original essentials of human nature. He lived as a man, the Bible says, with all the abilities and the problems presented by fallen human nature. And if you were to try to get into the depths of the saga of this man's life, you're going to discover all of those essentials of human nature. Jealousy and work and sinfulness and hatred and toil and sorrow and all those essentials of human nature. Number five, Abel is proof of the intelligence of human nature. Our textbooks today are flooded in our schools. There's such a demand in America to discount creation. The evolutionists are on the march. Our boys and girls are being forced to come to grips with the fact that once upon a time we were a bunch of apes and monkeys. And yet when I come to the Word of God, God says that I have been created in the image of God. Such was man. And if man was created in the image of God and man was originally an ape, it means that God is an ape. But more than that, God gives to us His account of these people who existed at the time of the creation of man and woman. And Abel is proof of the intelligence of human nature. That could not possibly have been the intelligence of an animal. In fact, the animals were juxtaposed against the intelligence of the human being. It was the human being who understood animal husbandry, agriculture, the order that God had established, because he's a God of order. Abel is one who gives a picture of a well-developed language and culture. He tells us and teaches us about the choice that God gives to sinful mankind who has been separated from him forever. So what does this teach us about faith in God? Well, I want to submit to you, my beloved friends, this morning, that when Abel speaks from the grave, there are a number of things that we hear even today in 2004. When Abel speaks from the grave, number one, we are reminded the man of faith takes God at his word. Now, just think about this for a moment. What is faith? Faith is taking God at his word. That's what faith is. Faith doesn't have a question mark. That's what Abel reminds us about. Cain gives us the opposite, right? Cain wouldn't take God at his word. Cain said, but now, Lord, wait a minute. You haven't tasted my fruit and vegetables yet. And besides that, what's wrong with fruit and vegetables? Now, folks, that's a good question. God was not saying there was anything wrong with fruit and vegetables, but the fact of the matter was that God had spoken. God said, this is the way you are going to do it. Cain said, well, I'm going to put a question mark in front of that because I'm a human being and I'm superior and I'm going to do it my way and I'm going to show you, God, that my way is the best way. And God said, nope, I'm sorry, you've got to take me at my word. Abel did exactly that. Abel took God at his word. That's what faith is. So today in 2004, when Abel still speaks from the grave, what do I hear him saying to Don Wilton? He's saying to Don Wilton, Don Wilton, let me just remind you something, son. The most important thing you could possibly do, the superior thing that you need to do as a man of faith, is to be someone who is willing to take God at his word, no matter what you think about it. Number two, when Abel speaks from the grave, we are reminded that the man of faith accepts the fact that his sin separates him from God. Now, folks, here you've got two men, Cain and Abel. They both had conversations with God, but it was only Abel who, because of his faith, was willing to accept that his sinfulness, albeit the sin of his disobedience, even just a refusal not to do worship the way God wanted him to do worship, regardless of what he thought about it, that is sin. The sin of disobedience within itself separates us from God. In a sense, Abel was standing there saying, but God, I know who you are. I believe in who you are. I'm willing to take you at your word. And I know that my sin separates me from you, and I will do anything I can. And if this is what you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Because there's nothing more important than me finding favor with you. I have a beautiful wife. You know her. I love her with all my heart. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'll do anything for her. You know that. She knows that. Almost. But folks, listen here. With all our ups and downs, I can tell you, all your ups and downs, I'd do anything for my wife. You know why? Because I love her. You know what Abel tells me from the grave? Abel tells me from the grave that faith is knowing and accepting that our sin separates us from God. And whatever it is that God wants me to do in order to be reunited with him, I'm going to do it. I don't care if my fruit and vegetables look better than yours. That's faith. If God, for some unknown reason, were to say to me, Don Wilton, I want you to crawl around this church 100 times in the deepest snow and the lowest temperatures, and by doing that, you will find favor with me, folks, I'd do it. Number three, when Abel speaks from the grave, we are reminded that the man of faith is expected to meet God on God's terms. Now, folks, that's faith. You see, Cain's offering of fruit and grain was not wrong in and of itself, but God required a blood sacrifice because it dealt with sin. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now, what part of that do you not understand? This whole series is entitled The Superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's why this is in here. It's about the sacrifice of Jesus who shed his blood for a wretched sinner like me. God says to me, listen, you will remain separated from me unless you're willing to put your faith and trust in the one who shed his blood for you. The blood sacrifice. Number four, when Abel speaks from the grave, we are reminded the man of faith is required to worship God as an expression of that faith. Now, folks, listen carefully. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth is a requirement of our faith. It is required. It's not an option. It's not something that we think about. Somebody once said to me, you never have to beg a Christian man or woman to worship the Lord, because a Christian man or woman will worship the Lord automatically, will want to worship the Lord because it is required of those of us who belong to Him. That is an integral expression of our faith. And it's interesting to know here that three things resulted as a result of this expression of faith through worship. Number one, worship was the means by which God looked at him. Did you notice that in both Genesis here and in Hebrews? It was because he worshiped God the way God wanted him to worship him, according to God's terms and standards, that God looked at him. My friend, if there is anybody here in the sound of my voice here today that you are about to do something stupid, stop it. Stop it. The grass is not greener on the other side of the hill. And I want to tell you something. God has given you a testimony. God has given me a testimony. Like my children's grandparents, long after they go to be with Jesus Christ, my sons and my sons' sons will always hear their voices speaking from the grave to love the Lord your God with all your soul and heart and mind, to love your neighbor as yourself, to be faithful in little things, to never ask for anything, to be satisfied and to be content where you are.
What a powerful challenge. If the Lord is using Dr. Don Wilton to speak to you right now, I pray that you hear those powerful words. Stop it. Wait. Respond to God's voice. If the Lord's using us today as a ministry, let us pray you through the next step. You can connect with us right now at 866-899-WORD. Let us pray with you and for you. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Even in the broadcast, folks have been asking about the promises of praying for others. But before we go there, I just want to share this final moment from the studio with Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin. And by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.